For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer this morning. We come around the Word of God and are led by the Spirit of God. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your precious Word. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Ghost amongst us. And we thank you, Lord, for the growth, expansion of this Word, not just to hear, but passed here into the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for expansion in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So we're looking at trusting God for a trouble-free soul. A trouble-free soul. And so we need to understand about this very important area in Christian living. And we know that everyone has a soul. When we're born again, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, John 3 tells us. And what we do understand, and I won't turn to it, but we do understand that there is a connection between the prosperity of your soul and your health and prosperity. In other words, a connection to the way your soul is in the Lord and the circumstances and things around you. There's no doubt about that. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So let's have a look at Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, because the reality of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and what he has given to us must be firmly within our hearts and minds. If you look at Matthew 11, we're looking verses 28 to 30, it makes it very clear that as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a path whereby we can have a path of victory, security, foundationally at peace as we walk even in an environment that's not at peace. Now, starting from verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So there is what is called rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. If your soul is made up of your mind, will and emotion, then that rest must extend into those areas, your mind, will and emotion. Now, what is that rest? Well, it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? He said, "My peace I give you." So there's a peace that we can have. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, the Bible tells us. So he's paid that price. So we need to come to him, whether it's a time of trouble or whether it's a time of peace. It doesn't matter. We need to come to him. And particularly he's pointing here to people that labour and are heavy laden. So within themselves, they need rest. They need relief from that trouble. Because why would he say, "I will give you rest," unless people needed that in their soul? Okay, so there is this promise, "I will give you rest." But he's not saying to those who already have rest. He's saying to those who are laden, heavy laden. And he's saying, "I will give you rest." So he's pointing to taking his yoke. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I think this is a very important concept here, that we don't have to be churned about the future. We don't have to be churned about all different types of things that could come. But we need to say, well, Lord, you are my shepherd. You're leading the way. By your Spirit, I can be led into the good paths. And so this is something very important for us to take hold of, that there is rest for our souls. Rest for our souls. Have a look at Psalm 55, verse 18. Psalm 55, verse 18. As I said before, the promise is there, I will give you rest. And Jesus is talking specifically about rest for your soul there. There's a lot of people who don't have that rest at all. And so they're meditating on all types of things that can cause them to be churned up inside, to be heavy laden with the wrong type of thoughts, with worries and fears and troubles. Now we see here how the Lord delivers in Psalm 55 verse 18. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. So you might feel, well, there's a battle against us or against yourself. But there is deliverance for your soul. And Jesus points to it, doesn't he? He says, I'll give you rest. Rest for your soul. But he has delivered my soul in peace. There's the key. Peace and rest within, rather than trouble and churning. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ commands, let not your heart be troubled. And your soul is in your heart. Let not your heart be troubled. So yes, we're going to meet up with, as it's got there, a battle that's against you. You're going to meet up with various troubles. But how they affect you determines how you approach it. Are you going to let the Lord Jesus Christ and what he provides be preeminent and trust in his word that he will deliver your soul in peace, or are you going to put that aside? And there's a choice there. Put that aside and say, well, I just can't help worrying. I just can't help this type of thing that is attacking my soul. Or not even that area, but I can't help thinking along this line. That is wrong, because the Lord tells us that he's given that power to us to let not your heart be troubled. He would not have said, let not your heart be troubled, if you couldn't do it. He's given you that power. You have a spirit of power within you. And the spirit of faith says, I believe and therefore I speak. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Because we're living on the earth today, there is battle against us. That's why we fight the good fight of faith. And the devil knows where the battle is at. And it's in this whole area of the soul and imaginations and things that he is shooting, the fiery darts of the wicked, is against our thoughts, the way we're thinking and believing. He wants us to be our own worst enemy, so to speak. So, verse 18, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. So one command that Christ gave us was, have faith in God. He says that in Mark 11. Have faith in God. So in the good times and in the bad times, have faith in God. It would be good for us that if something came along and, you know, in the past we may have fallen, that we instead say, well, the Bible says have faith in God. I'm going to take hold of what the Bible says and trust in the Lord. Jesus said he's given me his peace. I'm going, I receive your peace, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I know that this has been warring against my soul, and the Bible talks about fleshly lusts that war against my soul. Well, now I'm going to war against that instead of it, allowing it to war against me. So this is the type of approach we've got to have. So we already know about 3 John 2, which says, even as thy soul prospereth. We won't turn to that, but we know about that. We're aware of that. We know about the Lord Jesus Christ has provided his peace for us. So we know about that. This is very important. Have a look at Psalm 88, verse 3. Look at Psalm. It's full of information about the soul. Full of information about the soul. Now, we're only just looking at a few scriptures related to the soul. But have a look at Psalm 88, verse 3. Psalm 88, verse 3. And here we see that the soul can be like a receptacle. Okay, it says, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. Let's just look at that. My soul is full of troubles. Full of troubles. If your soul, mind, will, and emotions, is full of troubles, what's it going to be concentrating on? Do you think it's going to be prospering? Not going to be prospering at all. So we know that people's souls can be full of troubles, which is the opposite of Christ giving you rest. Can you see the idea? If your soul is full of troubles, you're going to be churned inside. And you all know, we all know the feeling. Feeling of almost panic at times. If your soul is full of troubles, there is an attack there happening, and you've got to recognize that. But you know, your soul could be full of something different. It can be full of trust in the Lord. It can be full of peace. It can be full of the Word. Instead of the soul being full of troubles. Have a look at Proverbs 21, verse 23. We've already seen that the Lord says your soul can be delivered through his peace. And that battle is waged against you. And you've got to recognize, the first thing to recognize this is, in this whole area of soul prosperity, the first thing to do is recognize that there is this battle waged against it, waged against you through that. And once you recognize that, you understand, well, the Lord gives us solutions. He shows us what we need to do. And what we have to do is put it into action in our life. In Proverbs 21, verse 23, let me just read this. It says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. So there's a link, isn't there? There's a link to keeping your mouth and your tongue. By doing that, and it's not God twisting your tongue to say the right things, it's you keeping your mouth and your tongue, you can keep your soul from troubles. So here's a solution for you. Here's a solution. Yes, trouble will come because we're living on a sin planet. We're living where there's all types of trouble around. Trouble can come. Trouble can always come. Okay, the battle is there. The battle is there. Lusts are all around, trying to target you. Trying to target me. The lust to do this and to that. When I talk about lust, I talk about that's the desires, and particularly the wrong type of desires, that war against the soul. Okay, so I'm not just talking about sexual lust, although that is a component. The Bible talks about fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Okay, so when we walk our Christian walk, it's got to be a walk of faith. And we see here is something that can keep our soul from trouble. We should say, Lord, I see in here that I can keep my soul from trouble. You've given me a solution here. If I keep my mouth and my tongue, I can keep my soul from trouble. In other words, if trouble comes, we don't automatically start speaking the problem, the trouble, the worry, the fear, the lust, etc. What should we be speaking? What's the spirit of faith say? I believe, and therefore I speak. But where does faith come from? Faith cometh from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of faith is in your mouth and in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, if you keep your... Think about this. If you're keeping your mouth and your tongue, it's saying, and on the basis of other scriptures, that you also need to be keeping your heart diligently, so that what will come out of your mouth and your tongue will be the right things. Does everyone see what I'm saying here? It's really important. It's really important. That's why you have to invest time. You have to attend to this. And you have to say, well, the word of God has to be put into my heart, so that when trouble comes, and inevitably it will on this sin planet, when trouble comes, my mouth and my tongue is going to be in line. It's going to be in line. And therefore, I'll be able to keep my soul from troubles. Okay, so if you can keep your soul from troubles, and the responsibility is on us, then do you think your soul would be full of troubles? It won't, will it? Not like the psalmist, where he said his soul was full of troubles. So what had happened there is the trouble that got into his soul, the trouble that got into him. But here we see in verse 23, But whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. So the troubles can't get in to that person's soul. Can you see what I'm getting at there? The troubles can't get in. So the responsibility here is on us to keep our mouth and our tongue. And through other scriptures, we know that means we've got to keep our heart, so that link between what's in our heart and what's coming out of our mouth will be maintained. Because if you don't keep your soul from troubles, that becomes your focus. And if that becomes your focus, then you are led out of, and it's not led by the Spirit of God here, you're led by something else. You are led out of victory. You are led out of triumph. You are led into what the trouble is all about. And this is very important for us to take hold of. So trusting God for a trouble-free soul is very important. Trusting that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided his peace. Keeping your mouth and your tongue, so thereby you'll keep your soul from troubles. Praise the Lord. Have a look also at Proverbs 22, verse 5. So thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. Now remember, froward type people are disobedient and rebellious. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Shall be far from what? thorns and snares. Thorns and snares. Okay? Now, we have to see that there are thorns and snares spiritually all around us. Now, what do thorns and snares do? They trap people. They keep them from going forward. If you had a thorn hedge in front of you and you were going for a walk, do you think you'd be able to go through that thorn hedge? You can't, can you? Unless you cut through it. It's always a possibility. But if, let's say, you didn't have a knife or anything like that, and you're just going for a walk and there's a thorn hedge, you can't go through it. That you just can't go. Even there, if there's a path there, you can't go through that thorn hedge. What about if there's a snare and you weren't aware of it and you got caught? Well, it might be a net, it might be a bear trap, whatever. Well, what does that do? That keeps you in one place, doesn't it? It keeps you trapped, and that's what thorns and snares are all about. That's what the devil is, the enemy of your soul, the enemy of your life is all about. He wants to get you trapped. He wants your soul to have troubles in it. He wants you and me to be speaking all the wrong things so that that trouble gets into our soul, and then there's those thorns and snares. So do not be froward. A froward person will say, it doesn't matter what I speak, which is in contradiction to the Lord, obviously. Well, it doesn't matter what I do, which once again is in contradiction to the Lord. It doesn't matter if I pray or don't pray, which is, once again is in contradiction to the Lord. Faith doesn't work, that'd be in contradiction to the Lord. See, a froward type of person will be that type of person. You don't want to be in that category. A froward type of person is not going to delight the Lord at all. You know? It doesn't delight God for his people to be stiff-necked. I think you can see that in... about the children of Israel and what they did over and over, being stiff-necked. So you've got to keep your soul. And you can keep your soul, as we've seen, not being froward, making sure you keep your mouth and your tongue in line. You can keep your soul from trouble. You can keep your soul from thorns and snares. And if you think about a snare in the soul, causes people to have a cycle of thinking, and that cycle of thinking is, as soon as something comes up, immediately they get into this cycle of thinking. That can be broken. That's the good news. That can be broken. The Bible talks about he redeems our soul. That is broken as we trust in the Lord. So 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 7. 1 Peter 5, 5 to 7. Let's have a look at that. And God has a real message for his people today. Not just in this church, but right across the body of Christ, because there's a lot of really bad things happening in our society, a great reversal of many Christian things in our society. And that can cause people to be really vexed in their souls and even question the Lord, things like that. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 7. And we want to just have a quick look at what this says for us. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, some people will make accusations about God and say, well, God doesn't care. Now, that's an accusation, but it's not just an accusation, it's also going against the word which says he careth for you. Okay? God cares for you, cares for us individually. He cares for you. We should not be thinking that he doesn't care about us. He does. But one of the things that we need to do is this whole area of humility before him. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And by humbling yourself, you do this very act of casting all your care, and that's this worrisome, fearful type of thinking, upon him. Now, casting has this idea of forcefully pushing it out away from you. Cast it away. Okay? So it's not just, oh yes, I'll try to resist it. No, you've got to be forceful in the spirit. Forceful in the spirit. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So you'll hear preachers, particularly those of the faith kind, will say this. If you've given your care over to the Lord, you don't have to have the care on yourself anymore. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about the worrisome, fearful type of thinking here. All right? Say if there's a situation that you're tempted to worry about, you come to the Lord, you humble yourself before the Lord, you say, Lord, this is what your word says. I believe it. This is your will. And then you say, I cast all my care about this on you, upon you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And then you thank him for the victory. You can pray about it, make a petition about it, and thank the Lord for the victory. Thank the Lord for the peace he's given your soul, because he cares for you. God cares for us. Praise the Lord. He cares for you. He cares for me. Let's have a look at Psalm 41 verse 4. There are some things that have to be fixed up even beforehand. Now, think about it. A prideful person will not humble themselves before the Lord, will they? And so therefore, a prideful person will also not cast all their care upon the Lord as well. It's important to see this, because we have decisions. We have continual decisions in our life that we make every day. Will I go the Lord's way, or will I go my own way? So there's some things that need to be fixed up in our life. This is one area here. Psalm 41 verse 4. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Now, it's very important to understand that just because a thought comes, that's not a sinful thing, right? A thought might come for you to do violence to someone, for example. That doesn't mean you're automatically a violent person. What that means is that a violent thought has come. What do you need to do? You need to deal with that. You need to say, no, I cast that thought down in the name of Jesus. But what happens and you see it amongst the criminals, for example, is thinking things come to them and they start to meditate on them and they start to receive them and they even start to think, well, that's the way I am. You know? You see that right across the human spectrum, where people, they start to think and meditate, and of course the devil is very happy to oblige with more and more thoughts. Okay? So you see the sodomites are in this area. All types of things are in this area where they start to think, well, that's really what I am. But what we must do is say, no, I don't accept that. I'm not a fearful person. I'm not a person that is angry all the time. I'm not a person that has this or that. I am a person that has been washed clean by the blood of Christ. And I can be victorious. I can be victorious in my thinking. And Lord, I have sinned against you in the past by meditating on this and thinking on this and allowing this to have place in my life. Heal my soul, Lord. Be merciful to me. So there is healing available for the soul. But a lot of people have to acknowledge their sin first. Okay? They have to acknowledge their sin first and say, Lord, I have given in to the enemy and I ask for your forgiveness and I ask for your healing. And God wants this to happen because this area of victory for us to walk victoriously is very, very important. Very, very important. Just go across to Psalm 42, verses 5 and 6. 42, 5 and 6. So here the psalmist is talking to his soul. And if he's saying my soul, it must be a part of you. Everyone understands that. Okay, there's two ways the soul is used in the scriptures. Like 3,000 souls were saved, obviously talking about 3,000 people in the spiritual sense that were saved. Here he's talking about the soul in your heart, okay, my soul. And he says in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? It's a good question for many people. And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar. So notice that your soul can be cast down. We've seen a few things about a soul being full of troubles and things like that. But your soul can be cast down. You can be disquieted. Your soul can be disquieted. That's the opposite of quietness and peace and rest. But what's the solution here? What does he say in verse 5? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. In other words, look to God. And if that means you say to your soul, soul, this is what I'm going to be looking at. This is what I'm going to be remembering. And you look into the Word of God. Look into the Word of God. Verse 6 says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. And then he says something, therefore will I remember thee. Remember thee. So there has to be a focus, a new focus for your soul. A new focus. Rather than focusing on the wrong things, focusing on the troubles or the cares or the lusts or whatever, or having a pattern of thought, thinking that is wrong, you focus on the hope that you have in the Lord. You focus on remembering the right things. If you look at Psalm 43 verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He's asking the question again. "And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." So what do we see here? You can be cast down, your soul can even be cast down and disquieted, but the solution is to get your concentration, to get your focus on the Lord, to see him as your hope, to see him as your strength, to see him as your health, to see him as your helper. Very, very important. Psalm 77, verses 1 to 4. Let's have a look at that. Now, I'm going to be continuing on this theme probably to the end of the year on the whole theme of soul prosperity. I believe not just this church, but the body of Christ needs to hear this more and more. And I didn't know this overnight. This has come through studying the Word and understanding what the Word has to say about this area. And there's a lot it says about, as you can see, there's a lot it says about the soul. A lot. Have a look at Psalm 77, verses 1 to 4. It says, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me." Isn't that wonderful? He gives ear to us when you cry out to him. Verse 2, "In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran into the night and ceased not." So obviously he had something wrong with him in his body. "My soul refused to be comforted." So there was a day of trouble for him. But he sought the Lord, so he's going in the right direction, isn't he? Verse 3, "I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." Selah. "Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak." Look, there's a lot of people like that, isn't there? So troubled, they cannot speak. You know, if you have a physical condition, you can be so troubled that that's going to go on forever. You ever had that type of thing? "Oh, this has been with me for the last week." And the thoughts come, "Yeah, it'll be with you always now." My eye is blurry and I can't see it. It's puffed up. "Ah, yeah, it's always going to be like that." Well, that's not God's thoughts to you. And we've got to recognize this. But you can be so troubled. There's so many people like this. They're so troubled that they can barely speak. "I cannot speak." Verse 5, "I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine heart, and my spirit made diligent search." Verse 7, "Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" Selah. Well, has he? You know, God does wonderful things for his people. We won't read the whole lot of this, but if you go down, well, let's continue. Verse 10. "And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." Verse 11, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." So what's he doing? What's he doing? He's starting to remember the right things. He's starting to focus on the right things. He's starting to bring his soul in line with proper thinking. And if your soul prospers, what happens? I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So when your soul starts prospering, things start to get in line in prosperity and healing. Okay? This is a real key. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate. Meditate. Also of all thy work and talk. All right, here's a person now. He's got it in line. Now I'm going to talk. I'm going to speak. I've got my tongue and my mouth in line. Talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. And we are redeemed from the curse of the law. And I want you to remember that. And as we remember and meditate and speak, our soul can prosper, praise the Lord. So I pray that this morning you will have a trusting heart for a trouble-free soul. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your people. And I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I pray that everyone here takes hold of the word, understands about prospering in the soul, understands the types of attacks that can come against us in this area. That we may be people that aren't ignorant, but are people of knowledge and understanding and having the fear of the Lord. That brings us into greater things. We praise you, Lord. I pray a blessing upon every person here. We praise you and thank you for your peace, the peace that has come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace for our soul. We declare peace for our souls. In Jesus' name.